Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours this day from God our Father through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. In the holy and blessed name of Jesus.
Amen.
Dear believers in Christ Jesus, in our text for today, Jesus explains that in the coming of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, something fundamentally changed in the way that God deals with the world. St. Peter hints at it when he quotes the prophet Joel in his Pentecost sermon. Joel had prophesied, "In the last days it shall be, declares God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh." As believers, we rejoice in this fact, because it's by the working of the Spirit, through the Word of God, that we have been called to faith. It is by the Spirit working through the Word of God that Christ's forgiveness has been declared into our ears, so that we would know with certainty we stand righteous before God because of the shed blood of Jesus. Because of the Spirit's work in our life and in our heart, we are convinced. Though we are indeed sinners who deserve eternal damnation and death, we still stand before God righteous because of what Jesus has done for us. And we know that when Jesus returns to judge the living and the dead, we will be standing at his right hand, given a white robe and ushered into the eternal dwellings which he has gone to prepare for us. This is the blessing. This is the knowledge that we have, because the Spirit has come to us to convince us of these things. When we think about the work of the Holy Spirit, we rightly consider these things, because it's precisely for this reason that God poured out the Spirit on all flesh, so that we would be convicted of our sins and seek out the righteousness which comes from God through Christ Jesus alone, so that we would avoid eternal judgment and condemnation. This knowledge, this conviction of our salvation through Christ Jesus is the advantage we have over unbelievers. We know God's mercy. We know God's mercy because the Holy Spirit has come to us and revealed it to us. But it's likewise important to recognize the reality of the fulfillment of the prophet Joel's statement on the other side as well. The Holy Spirit has been poured out upon all flesh. And because he has been poured out upon all flesh, that means that he is active in the lives of believers, that's us, and unbelievers, but in different ways. The activity of the Holy Spirit in the life of unbelievers is different from the activity in the life of believers. For us, the Holy Spirit is at work transforming us to be like Christ, to forgive our sins, to remind us of the mercy of God in Christ Jesus. In believers, the Holy Spirit works in our heart and our mind to lead us and guide us in the paths of righteousness for the sake of Jesus' name. But in our text, Jesus reveals how the Holy Spirit also operates in the lives of unbelievers. He says, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Theologians describe this work of the Holy Spirit and God on unbelief as the alien work of God. It's the work that God does so that mankind would see its pitiful condition and recognize their sin in the sight of God so that He can lead them to salvation. It's the work that God does so that mankind would desire to be righteous before God, so that they would no longer offend Him with their thoughts, their words, and their deeds, because they have been recreated in heart and mind to obey His will. The alien work is the work that God does so that people know something of God's wrath and condemnation on account of their sin, the judgment that they deserve because they have rebelled against God and His holiness and have rejected His goodness. But for unbelievers, the knowledge and awareness of these things goes a bit further. The Holy Spirit convinces them that they are sinners, but because they don't believe Christ, they can do nothing but wallow in sin. They'll try to deny it. They'll try to find all sorts of reasons to reject the truth of God's word about their sin, the reality of their broken relationship with God, their failure to obey God's commands. But the accusation and the condemnation they feel in their conscience is real. The Holy Spirit convinces them that they are sinners, but they see no hope of escape. So when the heavens declare the glory of God, when the sky itself proclaims His handiwork, it strikes them to their core that they are accountable to an almighty and omnipotent God. When their experience in life shows them that the things that they have done, the things that they have said have contributed to the hurt and harm of others, others who also have been created in God's image, they're confronted with the truth of the hardness of their own heart, their unrighteousness, and their disobedience against God. But again, because they don't know Christ, that's where it ends. Because they don't know Christ, they're left in their sin, and they become hopeless. They have no help and no comfort, because they do not believe in the one who removes sin, the one who cleanses us from our unrighteousness. They have no path to obtain the righteousness that God requires, because they don't believe that there is a path. You see the difference between us as Christians who know Christ and where it is that we find Him in this world? Do you see the advantage we have because we know that Jesus has gone to the Father? When the unbeliever's conscience accuses him, he has no choice, no place to turn except to their own works, to try to make up the righteousness which can never stand in the sight of God. Because they don't know Christ, they can't even comprehend rightly what their real problem is, why their conscience accuses them. They're convinced and convicted that something is wrong because the Holy Spirit has come to them and convinced them and convicted them of that reality. And they see God as their enemy. They boast of wisdom and knowledge in the world of what is good and what is right, but they don't see that they're blind to true holiness and righteousness because that is a gift that comes to the heart from God alone. So they work, and they work hard. They work feverishly to try to make up for their sin, but they just continue digging the hole deeper. They try on their own to do righteousness, but only succeed in continuing to despise and reject the free gift of God's mercy and grace. The free gift of God's mercy and grace already won the forgiveness of sins on their behalf, the righteousness that comes through salvation in Christ Jesus. As a result, it is as if they are once again putting Christ to death on the cross and considering Him worthless and useless rather than their help and their Savior. That's the danger. That's the danger of trying to work your way into God's good grace. But you, dear Christian, know better, and that is your advantage. You know that Christ came to take away your sin, to take it upon himself and to wash away your guilt. You know that Jesus came to release you from sin, to cleanse you from unrighteousness. And all this is a gift, a good gift, a perfect gift that comes down from the Father of lights, as James says. You know you have nothing of yourself to offer, nothing that could earn God's kindness, nothing that could earn God's favor. It all had to be done for you, and it was. You know that Jesus has paid your debt to sin. He has won forgiveness and salvation for you, and because of his wounds, you are healed. You are free. You are forgiven. That's the difference. That's the difference between the believer and the unbeliever in regard to sin. It's why the unbelieving world constantly tries to redefine what sin is, to add something to the list or take it away from the list, not relying on God's word and his law, but rather on what appeases their own conscience, what makes them feel better about themselves, because that's the only way that they can keep from despairing over the reality of sin. It's why the world fights so hard to destroy God's word and everything that God calls good. It's why they work so hard to destroy life. It's why they work so hard to destroy marriage and the family, community, and everything else. It's why the world demands that the church join them in their rejection of God's word. It's why they attack us when we stand upon the pure word of God, declaring what God says is true and right, good and holy and righteous. Because when we speak the word of God, the Spirit of God goes forth and convicts them of sin. It shows them their unrighteousness. It reminds them of God's wrath and condemnation. You see, the real problem is not the fact of their sin. We are told all have sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God, and that includes you and me as believers. The problem with the unbeliever is that they refuse. They reject the one who comes to remove their sin and cleanse them from unrighteousness. And that is the only path given to us for righteousness. To have our sins forgiven, to rely upon the grace of God in Christ Jesus, to be released from sin's hold over our heart and our mind, to be free from guilt and condemnation. That comes from no place else but the wounded side of Christ, where he poured out water and blood for our salvation. That faith is what is lacking for those who remain in this world enslaved by the father of lies. So when they consider that Jesus is no longer among us, that he has gone to the Father, they don't see anything to their advantage. They think that Jesus remained dead in the tomb, that he is of no help, that he can provide no hope. But to believers, Jesus made clear, it is to your advantage that I go away. Even though we do not see him with our eyes any longer, we know that because he is ascended into heaven and he fills all things, he is able to make himself present among us here and now. He comes to us in his word, through the promise of forgiveness in the words of absolution. He comes to us in the waters of baptism. He comes to us in his body and his blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This is the advantage we have as believers, knowing that our righteousness comes to us through these things. It makes us righteous before God. It changes our heart and our mind, changing who we are in this world in a way that doesn't happen with unbelievers. They're convicted concerning the reality of sin. They're convicted concerning their lack of true righteousness. But through the means given to us, the Holy Spirit forgives us and leads us on the paths of true righteousness so that we become those who work and do true good works. This is part of the truth that the Holy Spirit comes to guide us into, taking from what belongs to Jesus and imparting it to us through the words of Holy Scripture, pouring it into our hearts as He gives us His Spirit, so that having received the word of forgiveness and the mercy of God implanted in our hearts, we become the first fruits of righteousness, and we are transformed to be God's holy people in the midst of this world. But the world knows nothing of this righteousness that comes from Christ, just as they know nothing about what real good works are. So they hear God's judgment, they hear God's condemnation of the ruler of this world, they hear that the devil has been thrown down, and they recognize that they too stand condemned along with him. And so along with him they rage, they fight against the truth. They begin to act irrationally like brutes and animals. They seek to tear down and destroy, hoping that they can escape from the reality that the Holy Spirit declares concerning sin and righteousness and the judgment that will come upon them unless they repent. And this shows the advantage that we have over the unbelieving world. Those who do not know Christ, those who do not believe in Him, find no peace in the coming of the Holy Spirit. They despise the Word of God and everyone who holds fast to it. But we believers hear the sweet mercy of God in the Spirit's utterance, because we believe we know the forgiveness of our sins. Because we have Christ, we know what true righteousness is. And it comes to us because of His work completed for us. And because we have this righteousness, we live and act differently in the world. We walk according to the statutes of God, following His commands, sure in weakness, sure with great difficulty, because we still have the sinful flesh. So we walk only in proportion to our faith. But we do walk nonetheless. We show forth in our lives the fact that the condemnation which will come upon the ruler of this world will not fall on us. We shall go to be where Christ is. We shall be seated at the right hand of God to dwell with Him forever. This is why we can proclaim with the prophet Isaiah, "Behold, God is my salvation." And even as we walk in the midst of this world, we can declare, "I will trust and will not be afraid, because the Lord is my strength and my song, and He has become my salvation." Dear friends in Christ Jesus, know and meditate on this advantage that you have. Rejoice that God has been merciful to you. Declare His mercy to others and shout aloud His kindness, declaring His wondrous deeds to all the children of men. But do not be surprised when the world rejects you and hates you for it. For even as the Spirit is at work in you to bring you to eternal life in Christ Jesus, the world can only hear one message. The world can only hear of their sin, their unrighteousness, God's judgment upon them. Until that time, when the dawn of Christ's mercy falls upon their heart, and that comes only through the gospel. The good news of Jesus' salvation, the winning of forgiveness for us and for all the world. It is for the dawn of this mercy upon the heart of all that we pray earnestly and fervently, that all would repent of their sin and turn to Christ for mercy and forgiveness, so that they too would join us, not only necessarily here, but in the eternity which Jesus goes to prepare. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, know this. You stand in the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus with his forgiveness, his mercy, and his love. Pray earnestly that all would find this advantage in Christ, be forgiven of their sin, and walk in righteousness in the holy and blessed name of Jesus. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and keep your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We rise and turn to page 120, 192 to sing our offertory.